Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I feel like this is your way of dedicating a song to me, Plowboy. Because this is my jam. Jennings, you know this is my jam?
I didn't know that, but yeah. It's a good call.
Listen to Johnny Blow. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. We have an audible, and this is the Sea Monster just back there sea monstering.
Sneaky.
I said to him, I was in communication with, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I actually am going to say this, a source. I haven't said that since I was reading off a prompter 12 years ago.
You have learned.
That it would be a really good get if we could get the former Marlins president, David Sampson, to join us on the show. And so I texted the Sea Monster that yesterday. And while I thought we were going to be joined and recapped by what took place last night in the WWE, and I don't want to illustrate any statement that would make anybody think that is not important, but it is our pleasure to welcome to the radio program former Marlins president, David Sampson, here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. I'm still not used to the word former, so that sounded strange to me.
Yeah, you parted ways with the Marlins just 2 months ago. Is that correct? 2.5 months ago?
That's it. After 18 years in baseball, it all ended 2 months ago.
So if you don't mind me asking, what was the essential reasoning for the parting of ways?
I think maybe how I voted in the presidential election. I think that could have been it. But no, new ownership came in, and I think that, we wanted to move a different direction, and I totally respected that.
So yesterday's press conference was really something else, because rarely in 2017, and really for the last X amount of years, do you have a star athlete be pretty directly critical of someone, especially somebody who really played for 18 years and never really got criticized, like Derek Jeter. But that's what we had with Giancarlo Stanton and Derek Jeter. What did you think of yesterday?
I watched it. I had so many different emotions. You know, I've known Giancarlo since he was, a young guy drafted at 17 years old. And I watched him develop and become the superstar that he is. I think that, it was just a culmination of so many frustrations that he had with all of his years. He just wants to win, and we were never able to win really with him. We never finished above 500, and it wasn't for lack of trying. We had so many things that went on every year, and we always looked to the St. Louis Cardinals actually as such a model organization with consistent winning, especially in the last, I'd say, 10, 15, 18 years. And just, I think he had had enough. And the Marlins felt like trading him was the right move, and he felt like being traded was the right move, and they found the dancing partner up in New York.
It seemed like he was irritated by the process, and he really, while he was critical of the fact that it was a new manager every year and losing, it sounded like the criticism was not directed towards you, the previous ownership group. It actually sounded like it was more directed, at least the peak of his frustration, with what he's experienced over the last couple of months with the new group.
I think that he may have felt that they were going to go. He didn't know which direction the new ownership was going to go, and I guess he had a conversation with them, and the new direction came to light, and he didn't want to be a part of that. And so he got his wish, and now he joins the Yankees. He was very complimentary of the Cardinal organization, but who wouldn't be? I've never, in all my years in baseball, I literally haven't met anyone who wasn't complimentary of the Cardinals organization. And how they operate day in and day out and year in and year out. I guess he just felt like from a location standpoint, New York was a better fit, or from a whatever his internal reasons were, that no trade clause that we gave him really did give him that power. But without that no trade clause, he wouldn't have signed the contract with us. And it was something at the time that we thought was going to work out and made sense to us to sign.
Former Marlins president David Sampson, kind enough to join us here on 590 The Fan, KFNS. Tim McKernan, Charlie Marlowe, Jay Randolph Jr. with you. There was a report in July or early August that from Craig Mish, who clearly had some intel as this whole process played out over the last couple of weeks in particular, that Stanton would veto a trade to St. Louis. Is that, and he said he got that sense from the Marlins front office. Was that your sense at the time as you were still president of the Marlins organization?
It never actually came up when I was there. We didn't talk about trading him. We never had significant talks with any team. You know, it was the normal run-of-the-mill winter meeting, you know, hype where everyone checks in with everyone just to explain why they can charge room service bills to the room for 4 days. So it was nothing of serious note. So I had no idea what his list of teams was. I saw yesterday the four teams that he was interested in being traded to, and I just don't know who he communicated that to and when.
So, David, even this trading deadline in 2017, there was no significant traction? Because you heard some reports and rumors about Giancarlo Stanton potentially being traded midseason.
Yeah, it was all media hype, and it's funny. Now that I'm out of baseball, I'm reading all these things, and it's strange because you when you're in the game, you realize that most of what you read is not true. But when you're out of the game, you read the same stuff, and you're saying, oh, my God, that's true, that's true, that's true. So because you just don't have the information. But no, the trading deadline last year, there was no thought of trading Stanton at all because we were in the middle of a sales process, and the thought was whatever new ownership wanted to do with the team, they would do. And by the way, in the negotiation with all the people who wanted to buy the team, Stanton and his contract never came up at all.
Really? Huh.
People, remember, when you buy a team, you're buying it for generations. You're buying it not for all 25 guys in the Marlins roster last year will not be on the roster when these new owners sell the team in 20 years, or maybe they'll keep the team forever and keep it in the family of the majority owner. So the current day roster is really not a focus when you're working on a franchise sale.
What do you think, David, about, you know, the theory that the new owners trying to make a statement, letting you go, letting some other people go? The fact that they left Jeff Conine and Preston Wilson go. I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, do you think they're trying to put their stamp on it immediately?
I think that's very normal. I think if people came in and, let's say, bought the radio station and they wanted to make changes with the on-air talent just to say, hey, this is my show now and this is who I want to be on the air, you know, that kind of stuff happens. It's like when you work for a normal company and a new boss comes in, the new boss comes in with people from his or her life who they want to work with. You know, I never had worked with Derek Jeter, so I had no illusion that he'd want me as his team president. And I understood it. When I was negotiating to sell the team, I knew that I was negotiating myself out of a job. And that's sort of strange, but it's how life goes. And I think that the new ownership of any company or any team wants his or her own people. And I think everyone's okay with that. I think some of the bad press maybe has come from the way in which things have been done, but there's always two sides to every story.
And David, how do you feel for baseball fans in South Florida? And again, we're just kind of reading things on the surface, but it seems like when the sale goes through to the Derek Jeter group, and then you read reports and stories that they're trying to bring more investors on and potentially need more money, then they're basically slashing the payroll and getting rid of all of their players, basically. How do you feel for the fans? And you have a relatively new stadium there, and then here it is, another rebuild, and the Marlins have had three or four in the last 20 or so years.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, they think a rebuild is necessary, and we just didn't win when we were there. So since 2003, when we won the World Series, we haven't been back to the playoffs. It's the pronoun game. I keep saying we, but it's now they, which is interesting. So I think that from a fan standpoint, which is what I am, I just want it to work because I would love to have sustained winning as a Marlins fan. And if this is the way that they think is the best way to do it, you know what? Go for it, and I hope it works. And the way sports is, sometimes it works like it did in Houston, like it did with Chicago, like it did with Cleveland. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So I'm very hopeful that whatever they're doing now does work, because I want to live in a community where the sports teams win.
Are you looking to get back into baseball, Dan?
I don't know. You know, it's still so new. It's only been a couple of months. You know, I loved my 18-year run. Very fortunate to have been in the game for that long. But I don't know what the future is. I'm enjoying doing some radio stuff and enjoying doing some TV appearances. And I just don't know yet. It's too early.
What about the market itself? And I know it's not easy after spending all the time down there and having some success. Is South Florida a legitimate baseball market?
That is a great question. You know, it's been tough here since before our group took over. Back under John Henry, back under Wayne Huizenga, they tried to get a ballpark done and couldn't get it done and sold the team. We were able to get a ballpark done. We just weren't able to draw enough fans. And is it because of we were unpopular or who knows? Whatever the reason is, it's a very tough market for every sport down here.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. There is a lot of stuff to do here. There's no question about it. There's a lot of distractions in Florida. There's a lot of transient population. During the summer, a lot of the people are not there anymore because a lot of Florida residents are here as residents for tax purposes, and they spend winters here. So during the summer, a lot of them aren't here because it's absolutely brutally hot. But I don't know what the answer is, because we've never provided consistent winning and consistent being competitive. So I think that's the one thing that remains to be seen.
And David, how do you think the tragic passing of Jose Fernandez kind of changed the arc of this team? And I don't know if you guys would have been able to sign him long term, or maybe he would have been traded. We'll never know. But you looked at that team and you thought you could build around Jose Fernandez on the mound and Giancarlo Stanton, and you have Ozuna and Yelich, and it seemed like everything, even from an ownership standpoint, kind of changed in terms of the vision when he passed away.
That day is a day I'll never forget, September 25th. And I think about that day every day still. And I don't know if that will change anytime soon. I think about it from his daughter's standpoint, his family standpoint. I think about it from a baseball standpoint. In the beginning, I didn't think about baseball and the impact it had on the team. But, you know, as the days and weeks passed after September 25th, you realize that your entire franchise has changed. And the Cardinals have gone through tragedy like that as well. And it's just, you can't comprehend it. And I thought about last year, Jose taking the mound during the All-Star game. One of the last things he told me before he died is that he wanted to start the All-Star game last July in Miami. And he would have. And what would that have done to our team? How many more wins would that have been? And I don't really care about what the analytics say or what the wins above replacement and all of that stuff. The fact is, our team would be different and the entire franchise would be different. Would he have signed long term here? He had Scott Boras as an agent, so I doubt he would have, because that's not how Scott rolls. But be that as it may, he would have been on the team last year, this year. So I hate speculating about it, because I feel like it's hurtful to his family and to his daughter. But who doesn't think about what the franchise would have been like if he were still alive?
Yeah, that is something else when you do lay it out that way. And of course, a tragedy a year and a half ago, and still having effect on the franchise. Well, David, we know that this was a short attention guest situation here, and that we just contacted you this morning. But thank you so much for joining us on short notice, I should say, not short attention, short notice. And we appreciate it, because we're trying to get perspective on what's going on, and certainly with what Stanton had to say yesterday at the podium, that was a little surprising.
I'll just tell you that St. Louis Cardinals fans should not think twice about why he did not come to St. Louis. The fact is that your organization, your city, your team, your ballpark, your ownership, your general manager, everyone in that organization is fantastic, and your team will continue to be successful. Players come and go, but the actual sort of intestinal fortitude that your fan base has, I talk about it all the time in speeches everywhere, that the Cardinals fans are really the best in the country, and the city is one of my favorites.
They're very kind of you to say. David, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Thank you.
There he is.
Thanks.
Former Marlins president David Sampson with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And Jay, as you may remember, he was voted off Survivor first.
Yep. First gone.
Charlie, was it season 28? You think it was season? No, you thought it was 27.
I just saw that on Wikipedia. I've never really watched Survivor.
Oh, I
thought
watched
that was
it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you still watching?
Yeah, I still watch a little of it. I catch up on it.
What about that Richard Hatch? What is he up to?
I don't know. I know he did time for a while.
Right.
But
doesn't he always put on weight
and
he loses
weight? Was it by choice? That would be the worst that could happen in any of those shows. Producer Joe and I like that dumb Big Brother program.
Boy, he does like that.
And the first one off, it's the worst. It's like you're not even part of the show.
No, David Sampson, our guest there, outside of running the Marlins, also was on Survivor. A rare combination. Speaking of that, here are the Barstool Chicks on...
Oh, no. So you Charlie, what do you think about these gals?
In terms of their looks, or
it's just the whole thing.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of them. Although I listen to the clips and they're funny here and there. Plowsy seems to like.
Don't you think it's really a Plowsy sneaky V thing?
It probably is. You know what? I'm a big fan of in terms of Barstool. I think PFT commenters very funny.
I do like him too.
Very funny, and I read some of their funny articles they post. But other than that, I don't know all of their personalities. But good for them.
I'd rather him do this thing topless, the Barstool thing.
Fran and Rhea, here they are talking about Netflix.
Netflix is now blowing up people's spots on Twitter, tweeting out what they've been watching for the past year.
To the 53 people who have watched A Christmas Prince, who are you? It's Christmas time.
Imagine the people who are actually hurt who read that tweet and they're like, Netflix is now making fun of me for being hurt.
Exactly. Like, if you're in a vulnerable state, Netflix just tweeted you out.
Does Hulu tweet out every time I've watched Jersey Shore this year? They haven't. And guess what? Hulu has a bajillion better shows and movies than Netflix. Always Sunny, that Netflix took off, Seinfeld, Jersey Shore, Boy Meets World, Home Improvement, Full House, as Cutthroat Kitchen, the best cooking show on TV.
And honestly, Netflix has been dead to me since I got rid of One Tree Hill. How do you get rid of One Tree Hill?
How do you get rid of Always Sunny?
Hulu better than Netflix.
Always. Hulu's trash. Hulu has commercials. Guess what? If you just pay the $11.99 for no commercials, you won't have commercials. Whereas now Netflix, you're going to have to pay $13.99. We're really like pumped up today.
Woo!
Jay, that was
just the worst. I mean, just the worst.
How do you think Fran did in that segment, the Plowhawk?
That was probably their worst one. So they both did equally terrible.
And just so I know, those were edited, right? They don't really talk that fast, correct?
I mean, it's edited as far as maybe a couple seconds trimming on the front and back, but that's all natural. Oh, yeah.
So that's a caffeinated conversation.
I see somebody's on hold from Connecticut. Larry doesn't strike me as somebody who would be up in the Northeast.
Unless there's a big WWE show.
Unless you want to count, like, you know, Canton or Trenton. So I can't imagine this is Larry. Is Larry still going to come on the Sea Monster?
It looks like he's mid-text, so...
Yeah.
Maybe Gino Auriemma.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying?
Just the random
talking
Gino.
Toward a bit, talking about getting over that Mississippi State loss. So Larry with the WWE recap, your emails, hot shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We're in the Gateway Buick GMC studios, Gateway, at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at StLouisBuickGMC.com. New cars? Fine. Used cars? They've got them. And 37 service bays... that's what they have at Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at StLouisBuickGMC.com. A concierge service that's second to none, plus selection that you won't find anywhere else. It's Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at StLouisBuickGMC.com. And we will be at Hot Shots next Thursday, for TMA Live, presented by Bud Select, and that comes your way. You will not be there, Jennings, unfortunately.
I was excited. It's a home game.
It is a home game for you.
But lo and behold, out of nowhere, my son sent me a picture of tickets to the premiere of Star Wars.
Wow. Ooh. And wow and
so
wow.
So I got to make that play.
Your favorite Star Wars go?
Empire Strikes Back.
That's usually what Star Wars people answer the question with.
That's the third one of the original?
No, that's the second
one. And Jay
one.
Seems irritated you didn't know that.
Third one.
What the hell?
That's Return of the Jedi, brah.
Yeah.
I think of the first three, though, I think they're all pretty darn good.
They were all good.
The one that I thought wasn't good was the first one when they came back. Was that the Darth Maul one?
Jar Jar Binks.
Because that was about 20 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
I remember that one.
I just watched that last night. It gives a lot of context to what's going to happen, though. So I think that one gets very underrated.
I feel like that's Women Seeking Women Part 130. It gave you an idea of the direction Romy Rain would go in 139.
By the way, just since you referenced that.
Romy Rain?
And I knew three of the gals that you posted the other day.
Oh, the Mount Rushmore.
Your Mount Rushmore.
I have to chew whatever I can to try and fill the DraftKings game. And I've learned that if I post pictures of adult film stars, even though they're clad,
it helps.
It fills the game up, and then I can go work out and not worry about filling the thing.
Who was the dark-haired girl?
Cassidy of the Yeah Drop.
Cassidy. Okay, all right.
Of the Yeah Drop.
Yeah, that just, I was kind of like, oh.
Janine, Jenna Jameson, Brianna Banks, yep. And Cassidy. That was the Mount Rushmore of 2001.
Yeah.
And I feel pretty good about that Mount Rushmore.
The only one I don't know much about Cassidy. I like the other threes. Janine just... I just have a feeling
Don't bring her up around Iggy.
I know. I just...
It's a sore subject. That's sciatica.
I think she and I'd get along.
You do?
She's neat? Yeah.
She's very neat.
She hates her feet, bro.
That's... Well, we move on to other things. It's not all about the feet.
So we'll be at Hot Shots on Thursday. There will be no Foot Fetish Friday on Thursday because Jennings is going to Star Wars. Maybe we can have some of, like, Selena Sinners come to the theater... And you can FaceTime it, right? Because that's what the people want.
What they want the night of Star Wars premieres.
Blues and Ning tonight. Blues fans are invited to join the party all season for Blues Ticket Tuesday at Hot Shots. Customers can enter to win a pair of Blues tickets at every Hot Shots location during every Tuesday game this season. Show up and register to win a pair of tickets and cheer on the Blues while you enjoy awesome specials on food and drinks, including Bud Family and Jack Daniels, Tank Tea and Colton Bombs, Blues sampler, appetizers, and more. Hot Shots, a proud partner of the St. Louis Blues and home of the Blues fans for more than 25 years. Check hotshotsnet.com for more details. It is the hottest it's ever been in a studio right now, and I don't know what to do.
I'm just noticing that.
I was thinking about taking off my thop.
No.
I was thinking of taking off my thop.
No.
I mean, it's Charlie's unreal.
Taking off his jacket.
Holy moly cockatoli.
Well, we know they paid the heating bill.
The takes are so hot, boys.
Yeah, I guess that's what it comes down to. Major Peters, the official Bloody Mary mix of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Major Peters, Bloody Mary mix. Football fans, it's go time. That means it's time to step up to the bold flavor of the official Bloody Mary of the Morning After. Major Peters, made in St. Louis, using over 90% real tomato juice. Major Peters Bloody Mary mix will make your game time festivities a major success. Check it out at majorpeters.com. Major Peters Bloody Mary mix. St. Louis, Missouri. Major Peters. Charlie, I think I saw you comment on this.
Uh-oh. Mm.
But I liked it too, and I actually put it in my notes to discuss. I would have liked to have gotten to it earlier, but we certainly got in-depth on the Cardinals and Derek Gould's call. This is from Wright Thompson,
mm-hmm.
And he was on Seth Wickersham's podcast. Twitter is stupid, and I will never get back on. One, as Seth says all the time, what is the value of being right on the internet? Even if you do win an argument, who cares? And every single person, me and you included, are the distillation of our worst selves on Twitter. I don't get why I have to give people access to my pocket. I don't understand why anyone in the world just gets to mother F me and I get to read it on my own phone. Why would you do that? It's insane. There is nothing I miss about it, and I will never, ever get back on it. I've never been trying to get everyone I know off Twitter. I've been trying to get everyone I know off Twitter. It doesn't help you in any way. It doesn't move the needle for traffic at all. Facebook does. Facebook can swing a presidential election. Twitter doesn't do anything except get you in trouble. Dude, if you got fired because of Twitter, first of all, you'd feel like the dumbest mother effer to ever walk the face of the earth, and you would be right. You would have killed the golden goose for nothing, for trying to be funny. That's Wright Thompson. Discussing his reason, and then I think who's a golf writer? KVV, what's that stand for? You know, KVV. He's always on No Laying Up. Kevin Van
Valkenburg.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I heard him on No Laying Up last week, and he said he got off Twitter and he doesn't miss it either.
Why?
Charlie, you had a response to this, did you not?
I just really appreciated the post, and I agreed with 99% of it. And I said when I shared it that I love Twitter. But it is true because sometimes I'll think I'm sitting there on the couch. I'm like, how much time have I just spent? I'll look at Twitter. I'll put my phone down. I'll pick it up 4 minutes later. I'll look at it again. And it is fun. I think it's fun for people in the media as well. He's absolutely true though. The fact, and I've heard this from management at Fox too, where Facebook is still the format that generates and way more people are on. I think
Candy Crush does.
Yeah, that gets it. Yeah.
But I think it's 80% or something like that of the public is on Facebook, where it's only something like 20% on Twitter. But also the fact that anytime if you want to be just a nice person and interact with, whether you're a writer, radio person, TV, you do want to interact with people that watch, and the fact that they have questions, you answer them, but you can also just hit that mention. All of a sudden you have some loser who's just ripping on you. And why would you welcome that into your life? And then you're mad about it. You shouldn't be.
No.
But you are. Do you know what I'm saying?
Here's what I've noticed, and it's a phenomenon. I kind of like to test it. Anytime I notice you have, quote, retweeted somebody and you're arguing with them, I go to see if I have that person blocked. And about 80% of the time, I've already blocked that person. So I can't see what they, well, I guess I can, but I can't see what there is. So it's a personality thing. Mm-hmm. It's a psychology thing. Something is awry, and Twitter is the anonymous outlet from which they can spew their inner demons and take it out on those who are not experiencing said demons.
Jimmy, how many people do you think you've blocked on Twitter?
I think I can look it up. I've never, I mean, I would guess it's got to be in the hundreds, maybe thousands.
That big.
Right.
Okay.
But early on in Twitter, like 2009, 2010, I used to, like, if I would have like a Cardinal News and note, and then like a B-fib would hit me up with a take, I would clean out my followers by then retweeting something from Mr. Marcus or Raylene, who since has locked her account, which is a shame. But
Raylene.
And then all of a sudden, the numbers would go down. So I prided myself on having less followers.
You had a way of getting rid of the...
So I'm not really active on Twitter. Charlie, I think you masterfully handle Twitter.
Yeah, you do good, Charlie.
Like, if everybody at the station, and even television... I mean, I don't know how many local TV people I'm following, but I feel like you are entertaining on Twitter.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so you're. I feel like you're handling Twitter quite well. Like I said, occasionally, and it's like the baseball's best fans Twitter account. Oftentimes, I'll go and see if any of those, like 99% of the time, those people aren't following me. The handful of times one of them's following me, I'm like, ah, crap, what am I doing wrong that they would follow me? You know? So when Charlie's arguing with somebody, I'll go and see. I'm like, yep, got that person blocked.
And you know what? At Fox 2, I'll give away a little trade secret. I'm guessing all the stations do this now, but we have this program that monitors social media, and we have a big monitor. And when you walk by the station, it's basically a monitor that has pages that kind of change, and it shows like your social media footprint within the company, so within other Fox 2 people,
yep,
and then also within the market. So,
who's doing the best, Rich?
Well, it depends on the day. If you have a big tweet or if you have a big post on Facebook or a Facebook Live or a story you shared on Facebook and
you Facebook
all of a sudden,
Live, bro?
I don't really do that, but apparently that has more impact, much more than Twitter does. So it is kind of cool because I've always thought, okay, I'm doing this. Oh, I got a bunch of retweets. Cool. How does that help me? Do I get a raise off that? But really, our management, they do point to that.
So
they like people to be active. And if you're high on those lists daily, weekly, monthly, they're happy about that.
So then my question would be, which of course isn't to you, it's to any management, it's not Fox 2, it's in general. Because about 12 years to 15 years ago, when I was doing television, the blog became a big thing. And everybody had to blog, even though it wasn't in our contracts. You just had to start blogging. And I asked the question then, and I asked the same question now, not about blogs, but about social media. How does that positively impact the bottom line if there is no monetization strategy? And not to say that there isn't. I just don't know what it would be. How do you monetize that unless it just increases your talent's Q rating, and then therefore you think that that can translate to ratings points, which then do impact revenue and, of course, the bottom line. Because otherwise, I feel like it just becomes dogmatic and, oh, everybody's blogging, so now we got to blog. But what are we doing to make money off it? I don't know. We just got to do it.
Everybody's podcast, so you got to find a way to make money on the podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a way to make money on a podcast.
Well, that's what, yeah.
So I guess the theory is,
when all that started, well, we're going to get more hits on our website, so we'll be able to charge more. I think that's why I like the podcast. Well, I wasn't a podcaster until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it's that ability to pick and choose what you want to listen to.
Yeah. It's Netflix for audio.
Yeah.
Like, once I figured out how to listen, I mean, not figured out, it's embarrassing that I even had to say that, but like Sirius On Demand, what's the interview I'm listening to? I just got done with Jon Stewart, was on Stern, and who was I listening to now? I don't know what the hell it was. Charlie, who was I listening to now?
Let me just text Bill here and just see what I got.
I talked to Reggie.
Oh, Bono and the Edge, actually. Oh. We're in studio with Stern. That's what I was listening to. I'm not done with it yet. But it's like, why would I ever... Unless there's breaking news,
right?
And that's just me. And so, for example, when Dave Glover was in and we did the interview, when we were talking about like the state of the industry, and he said for his time, and I think he's 53, I think he said it'll be fine. Plus, a sentiment I agree with, St. Louis tends to be a little behind the curve on what's going on the coast as far as technology and or cultural trends, that the podcasting wave won't crash St. Louis radio by the time he's done. But he said, my kid, I think he has a 20 something, because he doesn't listen to the radio. And I go, Spotify, Pandora? He goes, no, he listens to podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you're hard pressed to find a
younger
person who, like, I saw my DirecTV bill, and I think that's partially because of the Hustler Channel subscription,
right,
but how high it is. And I'm going, what in the hell am I doing? Like, it's nuts. Nuts.
Cut that cord.
And that's what I'm saying. So I, like 15 years ago, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting rid of my landline. People are like, what, you don't have a landline? I'm like, well, why would I? And now who has a landline unless you like have a bit, like I for having a business office at home, I probably need to have it for fax purposes, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know? So it does seem to be the trend. But as long as you have content, people want to access.
Content is the key.
Right. That's the key. It just is, it's just what's the distribution platform. So from that standpoint on the Twitter element, you know, like when we had Clay on, and this wasn't on the podcast, this was on the radio show, he said he figured out a way to monetize the hate, but then I followed up on Clay Travis, and then I asked him, like, how, and he didn't really give an answer, and I don't know, unless it just, like, increases his profile, which then leads to dollars.
Right.
So it's not like he's directly monetizing the hate, he's indirectly monetizing the hate.
I guess for me, Twitter, and this may be sad to say, has become more of a news source in a way.
Sure.
I mean, it's, you know, whereas, you know, you used to get up and you'd read the newspaper or you'd watch the 5 o'clock news and then the national news at 5:30. Charlie, no offense, brother. Never see a newscast. Ever.
That's all right.
I mean,
come on board, though.
But that's weird. I mean, that's so weird. As somebody who grew up in a household with a guy that was doing a news, you know, was doing the sports.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you start to watch the local news when there's severe weather? Because that's where, and I know sometimes people will poke fun of.
I will tell you this. You're right.
You know what?
I will go. I'll go to whatever channel and go to their live streaming.
Okay.
And that's when something like that is going on.
But when you have severe weather, and I've looked at this, we get the ratings every day. We get an email,
sure,
and I look at the ratings the next day for all the shows, and I'm telling you, all the stations, when there is severe weather, you would be amazed at how many people are watching TV.
Yeah, but
it's ridiculous.
That's not surprising, you know, and Elvira is popular at Halloween time too, but that doesn't mean that it's relevant still.
But I'm saying even if the weather is not something that you'd think to be a huge weather event, even if it's going to storm maybe, or it might be a big snowstorm, you know
right.
what I'm saying? Just being out
you're
there
gonna get 'em.
Preparing for it, you'd be really surprised, not just that it's a high number, but how big of a number it is relative to other
which
newscasts.
Which is why, and I don't blame any organization, because again, if I were in ownership or management of it, I would seize it too. Whenever there is a hint of snow, that's capitalized on.
That's
business.
Yep.
And I get it, and it does concern people, but it's also good business, so it makes sense. So from the Twitter standpoint, I get it, and people say, oh, then you should be thicker skinned. It's like, it's not a case... It's not a case of losing dollars. So from my standpoint, what's my upside in putting up with somebody who's like trolling on Twitter?
Why deal with it? That's why I block.
Now, I know, Charlie, we've discussed this before. It's like, I don't want them to know that they've gotten to me, so you don't block.
Well, but
have
I'm
you
mute.
Changed? Have you changed?
No, because I think this is better. If you block them, they can see that you've blocked them. So I feel like in a way, they know they've gotten to you. If you mute them, they never know
that
you can't see
attention.
Any of their content, so it's just kind of lingering there in the ether. And I feel like, to me, if you're a troll, why do you do it? You do it because you want to get in the argument. So
yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize they're trolls.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because
as well.
I said last week, I think this is on the Questions from the Audience podcast, when people email me and say, I don't know why I was blocked from the fan page, I think most of them truly don't know why they were blocked from the fan page because they lack the self-awareness that they're dicks.
Right.
You know?
They don't understand.
Like, hold on a second. And it's usually a dog avatar or somebody who really wants to make it great again that I have to block.
I have a dog avatar. Just so you know, I have a dog avatar.
What? You love your dog.
Well, I do.
You're not trying to hide because you, had a Mr. Yunioshi avatar for a while.
Which will be back today.
The dog threats. I mean, I love dogs.
You hate the dog
threat. They're
thread.
Wonderful.
I know.
Dogs are wonderful. But good God, the Sunday day dog
threat. The most popular thread on the fan page.
Well, I'm like, well, I mean, what the hell? I mean.
Do you have a problem with Kevin Miller's food threat?
I got a lot of problems with Kevin.
No.
I mean, Kevin Miller, I mean, there's a guy that, you know, we really need to get help.
Maybe he should be on the podcast.
Maybe he should be like
the Plowhawk and Iggy sit down with
he
him.
He should
for
be in an
Christmas
office of somebody that is in the psychiatric field.
Iggy's back from his sit down with Vivica A. Fox. How is Vivica?
She's a sweetheart.
Did you ask her why Leon got to stick around and she got booted from Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I didn't get to that because I had to get, and I probably made a fool of myself.
No.
Because she hasn't done any nudity.
Oh, God. But you gotta ask.
Well, I asked her. I said, I don't think you got naked in booty call. And then I had to kind of turn it into a nudity question because, I mean, if I don't get nudity questions in, it's kind of boring.
That's what the people have come to expect.
That's what they want.
Well, it's like when people tune into Different Strokes, and if Gary Coleman didn't do what you're talking about, they felt like they didn't get something.
Yeah. Cheated.
Well, I mean, for the postcard, I needed something in there, but.
How'd you go about it?
Well, I said, because I said, have you ever gotten naked? Because I know, you know, I am a guy. I like nudity, Vivica, but it seems like there's too much gratuitous nudity in there.
Oh, my.
I said, and I go back to, granted, Halle Berry should have gotten naked in Monsters Ball, but when she showed her breast in Swordfish, it was just a money grab. I said, so how do you feel about the gratuitous nudity? And she kind of said, I said, look, I'm not being a prude. She goes, you sure about that?
Trust me.
So it didn't kind of go the way I wanted to, but, you know.
You fired the bullet, though.
I had to.
If you
I
didn't mean, fire the bullet, you'd be upset with
you know,
yourself.
If she'd have gotten naked, then I could have talked about it.
Right.
But she didn't get
and
naked.
And she was not in Boomerang. I get her confused with Layla Rashan.
No, she wasn't.
Jennings? Yeah. That's I get her confused
Layla
with Layla Rashan. She was not in Boomerang.
Yeah,
not.
I thought maybe she got naked in Born on the 4th of July because she played a hooker. You would think she'd get naked, but.
Yeah, but it was like it was kind of a family.
Oliver Stone.
Sci-fi. Oliver Stone directed Born on the 4th of July?
Yeah, I believe so.
You're talking about Independence Day. Did you say Independence Day or Born on the 4th of July?
Born on the 4th of July. It was Tom Cruise and
Vivica A. Fox was in.
It was one of her first movies. She played one of the hookers. Remember when he went down to the island?
It's not a memorable
moment. And she was a stripper in Independence Day. She's been typecast. That's a question that should have been asked.
And booty call.
Which is why I got confused. I'm like, okay, stripper, hooker. Oftentimes, in my experience, they kind of do fall under the same umbrella.
And somehow I brought up Gaga. I said...
somehow I brought up Gaga.
Well, it made no sense, but I said... And I said, like gratuitous nudity. I said, look, I'm a huge fan of Lady Gaga. And I was watching the documentary... The documentary 5'2", where she's talking about all the things she's gone through, and then out of nowhere she just took her top off at the pool.
And you felt it was gratuitous.
I said it was just gratuitous nudity. And she goes, "Love you, Gaga." Her and Gaga hung out the night of the election, both big Hillary supporters, and she goes, "Yeah, I hung out with Gaga the election night. We were pissed." I said, "I guess so. You've been a Democrat."
So that's how she—that's how she redirected your
My Gaga thing. So the nudity thing didn't quite turn out, though. So.
But you fired the bullet. What else can you ask?
You did what you had to do. I had to get something out of there.
This is usually Doug's guy, but I'm happy because I can tell you about Mark Milton as well. If you are currently sideways with the IRS, if you have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night, are you facing tax liens, bank levies, or wage garnishments? If so, you should contact former Department of Justice Tax Division Attorney Mark Milton at STLTaxLawyer.com. Mark Milton, STLTaxLawyer.com, provide a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. Don't be sucked into the out-of-town tax resolution groups you hear on the TV and radio. If you have IRS problems, visit STLTaxLawyer.com today. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Hey, it's time for the Hot Shots email of the day. And deedly 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 dee. Hello, longtime listener, first time caller. Tim, you're incredible on air, for real. So glad to have you back from your one day off.
Where's the gong?
It wasn't a day off, though.
I'm just ringing the bell.
Thank you. I've always enjoyed listening to you. Your cute little giggle is so infectious. So much joy. I've always wondered if you're ticklish, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Scale of 1 to 10, how ticklish are them nips? Hey, 1 in 4 guys has a thing
answer for the question.
1 in 4 guys has a thing for guys.
You know, I don't know if I've been lucky enough, blessed, I guess is the right word, to have a gentleman play with my nipples.
I, That's one thing I don't have any interest with anybody.
Good thing about nipple hair is you kind of, it's like tickle proof. You know, you
kind of tickle proof.
You got to kind of weave through a couple inches of nip hair before you get to the areola proper.
Be careful.
Hey, one in four guys has a thing for the warm, sensual touch of another man and yearns to be peppered with gentle kisses up and down my waxed bikini line. I absolutely respect you and am more curious than anything. F off, buddy, would probably be deserved. But I want to add to the pile of positive experiences in your life, and if at all, I'm willing, I'd love for you to treat me like the bull at PBR and get drunk and ride me in front of a crowd until we escape to a broom closet to consummate our love. Keep rocking our airwaves and sealing our hearts. That's from Nipsey, the nipple tickler.
Nipsey.
Now, I feel like that's a play on Lux's email from Tom, the foot tickler.
I think it is. I do think, though, but Nipsey may have an issue.
Morn. Ah, yes. Tuna melts. I heard this establishment has the best tuna melt this side of the river to pair. I'll have two, please, and bring them with a side of moist artichoke hearts, player. Oh, wow. You don't think this tuna melt is that good, boy? You don't think this tuna melt is hot enough for you, you filthy boy whore?
I know where this is going.
Let's whisk this Sandy away to the men's room where we can steam up these buns by dragging it through the heftiest Hoosier's dank fupa, capturing the warmth as well as a few Hoosier shrubs. Think about it. That's from Tunnel 12,000. And look, Charlie, it looks like a picture was included today.
Oh, Lydia Moss Bradley. Very nice.
Tunnel's very underrated.
Very nice.
Let's see. Does Betsy Bruce still work at the Two Fox?
She retired maybe within the last year or so.
Okay, then I'm going to be safe to read this email. Dear Betsy Bruce, I have enjoyed your news reports on Fox 2 and other stations for years. You have an infectious laugh. Seems like we have a theme today. It's a shame you're retiring, but I'm sure the executives pushed you into it, sending you on all those crappy remotes toward the end.
No.
This Charlie did have to jump in.
Fake news.
This leads me to why I'm emailing you. The last report you did was from a pig call competition in Canton, Illinois. You looked so cold with your fur-lined hood pulled up tight, and it got me to thinking, would you ever consider wearing a Truman the Tiger mascot outfit? You can borrow mine, Betsy. I like to parade around it in the summer when it's hot. The inside of the costume tickles my sweaty, naked skin. Anyhow, let me know. Also, if you see Charlie Marlowe at work, will you ask him why he won't read my text on the radio? Thanks. That's from Fred the Furry, also known as Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman. Fred the Furry.
Morning, fellas. Just emailing in to let you know that Doug's colonoscopy went well, and I'm happy to report that I was able to retrieve my wristwatch from the last one. Just so everyone knows, I have a few openings, so if anyone wants me to explore their openings, I'd be more than happy to put back on the rubber gloves and waders and go exploring for treasures left behind in your behinds. Thanks. That's from the hipster of Tower Grove South.
Hipster of Tower Grove South.
Guys, Plops here. I'm outside the Walgreens on Telegraph. Doug just finished getting his colonoscopy inside at their Take Care clinic. Typically, they don't do colonoscopies, but they felt bad for him since he had fasted all night and he was throwing a fit, so they agreed to peek in and take a look around. Doug was out of it. He showed up wearing a button-down shirt, dress shoes, and a diaper, and he was as cranky as could be. He called the young man working the photo lab a bitch muffin as he walked past. As we passed by the pharmacy window, he picked up a tube of toothpaste and threw it at the pharmacy tech and said, here, for your fupa. The nurse practitioner, completely unqualified to give colonoscopies, told me they did find something up there, though. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. She said it looked like it had been stuck up there for about 6 weeks or so. Makes sense, I guess. Well, thanks, Misty Plop. And that seems like that's a shot at Doug voting for Bill Pullman's Independence Day. That's what it seems like.
I took it that way.
There's tension. Let's see. This is a new one, and it's two women making out in a picture, which, of course,
that's a good start.
I am all for.
Yep.
Jay Randolph Jr. made me a lesbian. My college roommate had won that award for sexiest South Carolina cheerleader ever. At the banquet, the golf phenom asked us to go back to his cage. They started messing around as he lay on his back going to town on her tootsies. We realized why his nickname was the turtle. Get the dude on his back and he can't get up. So I spun him around like a top. Our laughter soon turned into passion, and our passion turned into my entrance into the world of tribbing and lesbian eroticism whilst in our sexy, lacy undergarments. Thanks. That's from Bikini Model Brittany. And there's a theory that Bikini Model Brittany is actually not a woman, but rather Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic.
Right, and there's people that put on, we put out, like, information at the golf course of upcoming tournaments, uh-huh. And there's always somebody put, will Bikini Model Brittany be there? Oh, sad.
Guys, I'm still stumped on the Stanton thing. What right-minded young man, built like a Greek god and worth nine figures, wouldn't want to come and play in Murder City and live in an upper-middle-class fiefdom the size of a shopping mall? I'm lying awake at night wondering what kind of historical stats he could have laid down had he been the meat in a famine Gritchick Sammy. Could he have made up the nine wins we needed to catch the Cubs in an off year? Who knows? But if you were here today, watch out, Brewers. We got your number. Thanks. And that comes from Reeves.
He is 7.6 WAR last year.
That's right.
So that's getting close.
And finally, morning, B-team. I've got a crazy theory, but bear with me. It sounds like Mike Francesa might be angling for a job in St. Louis when his show ends. I feel like his takes about not wanting outrageous power would have huge appeal for the B-fib. When there's a man on first, sure, a home run would be nice, but the B-fib know what the real value lies in hitting a grounder to the right side to advance the runner into scoring position. We don't want flashy power hitters either, Mike. We want scrappy utility men who can lay down a bing and hustle to first every time. Francesa, come home. That's from Stubby Applause. P.S. T's and P's to Doug's colon, this ma'am. And that's what we have for the Hot Shots email of the day. Show me what you got, little mama. Show me what you got, little lady. Show me what you got, short eh.
Where are you going,
Chuck? I'll go first. I liked Reeves. Good, Reeves. Solid take on Stan not wanting to come here. Reeves.
Well, it's tough. Plops.
I'm going with Nipsey the Nipple Tickler.
Oh, is this
so
Plowboy?
Yeah, the Plowboy gets to...
Nice hat, Plowboy.
The key to a good email is it being topical. I think Nipsey was there. I give it to Lord Nipsey.
Nipsey.
Wow. Yep. Doug wouldn't be happy. He feels like Plowboy always votes with me, but it's really only about 90% of the time. Congratulations to Nipsey. Congratulations to Nipsey the Nipple Tickler. You have shipped the Hot Shots email today. Jennings, Charlie, I don't know when Coach Yo will throw this line combination out there again. I don't know.
Tomorrow? So is Doug back tomorrow?
Oh, is he? I have no idea.
I'm back tomorrow, I believe.
It depends how it works.
This
went
line combination's back out there tomorrow, or Doug is back tomorrow?
I am.
Doug's
right?
Back tomorrow.
All right.
Okay, but I am here tomorrow.
I'll be in during the holidays sometime.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Burl Ives, everybody. All right, time for us to shut it down. Jennings, Charlie, thank you for coming in and filling in for the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Jennings Randolph Jr., and for Douglas Elwin Vaughn, for Charlie Marlowe, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.